You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, September 17th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today our episode is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. We will be joined in a little bit by Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers for our weekly crossover Thursday show. The Jets and the 49ers will play this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It will be the Jets' home opener. Before we get to that, though, there was some Jets news on Wednesday. A couple starters appeared on the injury report. Jamison Crowder and Mekhi Becton were limited in practice. Crowder with a hamstring injury, Becton with an apparent knee injury. Avery Williamson remains limited. He missed week one with a hamstring injury. Alex Lewis and George Fant, both starters on the offensive line, were full participants in practice, but they were listed on the injury report with shoulder injuries. But the bigger news is that the Jets owner decided to speak to the press on Wednesday. And the fan base is understandably upset based on some of the things that he said. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not that upset with it. I think part of it is that I did not get my hopes up that high for the Jets this year. Part of it is that I really think the Jets have the resources, if they attack this offseason effectively, to make a vast improvement by this time next year. This could be a much better team by this time next year. But the biggest reason I was not that upset over it was that the timing of it is just ridiculous. Chris Johnson spoke to the media yesterday, and he said that he has full confidence in Adam Gase. He said he's a brilliant offensive mind. He talked about how he's seen Gase interact with the players in practice. And while the reaction of the fan base is understandably upset because Chris Johnson's saying all these good things about Adam Gase, I cannot help but like sit back and just kind of be amazed by the absurdity of this situation. The fact that the owner felt that after one game, he had to give a public vote of confidence to the head coach. I've watched sports for a long time. That's never a good thing. In fact, I'm not sure I can ever remember an owner feeling that he needed to give the public vote of confidence. They, you know, sports analysts, you always hear about the dreaded vote of confidence. I'm not sure I've ever seen it happen after one game. And it kind of shows you the situation with the Jets. It shows you the situation Adam Gase is in. And while people are upset, I think that those factors should bring some degree of calm. First of all, you know, the Jets are a team that's kind of gearing more towards the future. You looked at this roster, this was just not a good roster this year. You hope that some of the players surprise you. You hope some of the young players start producing right off the bat, but this was not a good roster entering this season. And you do have, there actually are the resources in place for the Jets to make a drastic improvement this offseason. This is different than years past when they just had a lot of cap space. Because they have a number of draft picks, which is more important than cap space. But also, the cap space is going to be able to be used more efficiently this offseason if the salary cap goes down. It's one thing to be like the Jets under John Idzik and Mike Maccagnan and be among the league leaders in cap space when the cap's going up. Because while that means you have cap space, everybody else does too. So you have to bid against a lot of teams. If the cap's going down, you have cap space, then you're at a big advantage, and you can spend more efficiently in free agency. But mostly, just because this is ridiculous, the fact the owner felt the need to tell everybody after one game, I still believe in this coach. Don't doubt that I believe in this coach. The fact that that needed to be said, probably not a great sign for Adam Gase. And that's the reason. Those are the reasons that I don't think you should get super upset over this. Now, that said, read the room a little bit. You know, Chris Johnson should understand that there's nothing he can say right now that's going to make the fan base happy with Adam Gase. That's not going to turn the heat down on Adam Gase, him going out there and reaffirming how much he believes in Gase. There's only one thing that's going to calm the fan base down, and that is a win on Sunday. Jets need to go out there and play better. just need to look prepared against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think this is another sign, not that it really makes that big of a difference as far as what happens on the field, but it's another sign that Chris Johnson's just really out of touch with his fan base. The fact that he went out there yesterday and thought that he could fix things by telling people Adam Gase is a brilliant offensive mind, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, the comment about how I've watched Gase lead this team, and he says, like, he's watched him interact with the players in practice. I mean, what's he trying to say there? Who cares about the scoreboard? Training camp, you should have seen Adam Gase interact with the players. What do you care about more, winning games or interaction with the players in training camp? You look ridiculous when you say that with Chris Johnson, like when you're Chris Johnson. It's absurd. I just don't understand. It does not really make a big difference with what happens on the field. It just makes Chris Johnson look ridiculous, in my opinion. And I think the biggest problem here is that Chris Johnson really does not have much credibility on this issue, because Chris Johnson, first of all, has overseen a team that has been extremely unsuccessful during his tenure. Since he took over as Jets owner, the team is 16-33. And Chris Johnson was, at the end of the 2018 season, talking about how great of a plan, how great of a talent evaluator Mike Maccagnan was, only to fire him 5 months later. So Chris Johnson's not really the guy anybody's looking to for an opinion on the quality of a coach or an executive. I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but when it comes to evaluating coaches and executives, Chris Johnson might as well work at the Daily News, because he's got no credentials. So I don't understand why Chris Johnson's going out there and trying to tell us that Adam Gase is great, because nobody's going to believe him. Nobody wants to hear it. But ultimately, I don't think it's the type of thing that should get anybody super upset. You can look back at it and laugh at it, because it's just kind of absurd that we're a game into the year and the coach is in such a bad situation that the owner needs to make it clear he's got confidence in him. That's not a great sign for Gase. Anyway, ahead on our show, we will be joined by Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers, and we will talk about week 2 between the Jets and the 49ers. It doesn't matter whether you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds and gives you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off your next order when you use promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Week 2 NFL, Locked On Jets, Locked On 49ers, crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's John from Locked On Jets along with Brian from Locked On 49ers. So Brian, let's talk about the 49ers a little bit. And my perception, and you can tell me whether this is correct, it did not seem like the 49ers lost that game to me as much as the Cardinals won it. But what's your perception from that game?
It's hard to say. I don't know where on the scale the Cardinals currently are. They're definitely better than they were last year, and they've had a great offseason. I think they're going to be a very good team in this league, and that NFC West is really difficult. But there were some... I mean, I think if you watched that whole game and you didn't keep score, you would have thought the 49ers might have won, because they were really dominating in a lot of aspects, and they jumped out to an early lead, and the game shouldn't even have been close. I think the 49ers should have closed that game out and really finished them off early, and they weren't able to do that. And it was some, and that's why I kind of said, you know, a lot of teams around the league throw week one out the window, because it was a very preseason-like affair. And I say that because especially from the 49ers, there was just multiple drives where, you know, a penalty here, a late hit on, there was two separate late hits on quarterback Kyler Murray after he slid that kept drives alive. There was a blown coverage at the end of the game on third down to keep another long drive alive on DeAndre Hopkins. Even though he had a lot of catches in that game, they were corralling him pretty well. And he was, you know, they weren't big plays. He didn't score any touchdowns. They were just letting him catch the ball and then rallying to the ball and tackling him. So even though he was targeted a lot, it wasn't really hurting the 49ers until his 14th and final catch of the game that really got him and kept that drive alive, and then they would end up going down and scoring the game-winning score. But the 49ers just kept giving him opportunities, and then Jimmy Garoppolo was off, and he was missing targets left and right. He had opportunities to win the game late, missed Kendrick Bourne open in the end zone, underthrew him. He hung George Kittle out to dry on the play that got his knee sprained, throwing it high on a, you know, and this wasn't over, this wasn't down the field or anything. It was an easy throw. It was a screen pass, threw it high and hung him out to dry. So Jimmy Garoppolo is just really off. They should have marched down multiple times. A blocked punt. I mean, there was just a lot of things that went wrong for the 49ers that shouldn't have kept the Cardinals in that game. Even though the Cardinals showed me a lot. I mean, like Kyler Murray's going to be really good, and at worst, going to be very frustrating to play against. They have a lot of talent on that team. It's still kind of coming together, but I think the next time they play, it's going to be another one, even more heavyweight, because I think the Cardinals will be better in Week 16 late in the year, and I think the 49ers will be much more settled in and not making the preseason type of mistakes they did in Week 1. So it's going to be a 49ers team that I'm not too worried about, because if you throw out Week 1, I think they'll come back and maybe it helped them in the long run. A slap in the face, refocus the 49ers here in Week 2, which is bad news for the Jets.
No, I know it's difficult to judge things based solely on Week 1, but do you get the impression this is going to be an offense this year where there's more put on Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders?
Yes, well, I thought it was, especially when you consider what they're dealing with at wide receiver. They've got a rookie first rounder whose hamstring kept them out of Week 1. They're hopeful Brandon Ayuk is going to play in Week 2. Deebo Samuel's going to miss the first 3 weeks with his broken foot that he had a setback in right before the season. They thought he might have gotten ready for Week 1, but he ended up going on IR, and he'll be there for a short time. And now Kittle's banged up, and they want him to play. He's not going to practice at all this week. We'll find out if he actually does get cleared by the doctors and is allowed to play Sunday. I mean, otherwise, it's going to be a very condensed, and it already is going to be a very condensed offense as it was in Week 1, even with Kittle in there, and heavily based on the running game and throwing the ball to tight ends and running backs and not really pushing the ball downfield or outside, which is an element I think they need to explore this year. And maybe they'll be able to do that when they get their full complement of receivers. They've added Mohamed Sanu. Will that help? I don't know if he'll be able to jump in there this week and make a big difference, but I would have expected a big jump for Jimmy Garoppolo this year after finally getting a full year of starting experience in Kyle Shanahan's offense. It did not look that way in Week 1. I would expect it to trend towards that way at some point in the season, especially when they get all of their weapons back, and luckily those aren't long-term injuries for their offensive playmakers.
Now, Brian, you alluded to this a little bit, but 49ers have suffered a number of injuries, and they could have some key guys out this week. So introduce us to some of the backups who may see playing time against the Jets.
Honestly, there are some backups now in the defensive backfield that I'm just learning about today. A gentleman by the name of Ken Webster, who I didn't really even scout heavily when he was coming out of college last year. He had some great workout numbers, runs a 4.43. The 49ers just claimed him today off of Miami Dolphins practice squad. And he did start 5 games with the Dolphins last year. So Ken Webster's a name. He's going to be active. He's going to be on the roster. I don't know how much he's going to play with Richard Sherman going on IR now with a calf injury. But one of the cornerbacks is going to be Emmanuel Mosley. He was one of those guys that was targeted heavily covering DeAndre Hopkins last week. But, you know, people will point to that and say he got torched. I don't see it that way. I thought he was okay. And he won the starting job in training camp. He won the starting job last year over Akello Witherspoon. And I really like Emmanuel Mosley. He's a pretty talented guy. And, you know, he's not a shutdown corner by any means. But for a number two corner in the league, I think the 49ers could probably do worse than him. But now with Sherman out and Akello Witherspoon, who I just mentioned, dealing with a concussion, he's on concussion protocol. So the other side of the field would probably be now this week the one to attack if it's Dante Johnson, who's sort of a journeyman that the 49ers can't shake. Like, he left the team and went to the Seahawks and went somewhere else, I believe, and then came back, and now he's on the 49ers again, was on the practice squad, and he's going to get called up, and he'll likely get the start unless Jason Verrett is able to go, which would be a huge boost for the 49ers because he was getting rave reports in training camp. I don't know if he's going to look like the old TCU version and rookie version of Jason Verrett that was so dynamic, but he's dealing with a hamstring injury, so Dante Johnson's likely the player that the Jets offense is going to want to attack in the passing game this week.
Now, this game is the dreaded 10 a.m. start for the West Coast team all the way across the country.
Yeah.
How have the 49ers responded to those starts in recent years?
They've been okay just because they've had, and it'll be better for them because they're spending 2 weeks. Well, they're spending two games in a row in New York. They're playing the Giants in week three, but they're going to go to West Virginia to hang out. And that's something they've been doing when they have an East Coast trip back to back, and they request the league to let them have those back-to-back games when they do travel east, so they can hang out in Youngstown, Ohio, or they can hang out in West Virginia as they're doing this week, or Florida or something like that, just so they don't have to travel back and forth, because that's one of the worst things for those West Coast teams is those long trips across the country, and the West Coast teams tend to travel a lot more than other divisions in the NFL. So they're, and look, with no fans in the seats, that's the home field advantage this year, is strictly travel, and it'll be interesting to watch how that affects teams this year when you kind of separate what the fans can bring to a home team versus what the travel does to an away team. And I think we'll see what that is. So I would assume it's less of a home field advantage for teams than normal, but those long trips I think could still take their toll on some teams. So we'll see, but generally the 49ers have been okay in recent years, but I think that's more of a factor of them being a pretty good team than just being amazing at travel. But they have done a pretty good job of finding places to hold over on the East Coast, so it's not a back-to-back-to-back, you know, East Coast, West Coast, and back East trip.
And how are the 49ers special teams?
Special teams are fine. Richie James, another wide receiver for the 49ers who left last week's game with a hamstring injury, and he's a fine returner, you know, league average guy. He catches the ball most times, and he'll make a big play occasionally. The 49ers will probably lean on either the rookie Brandon Ayuk to return kicks or Jerick McKinnon to return kickoffs, with Trent Taylor catching punts. Taylor's not going to give you anything as a returner, but he's solid and he's fearless and he'll catch the ball and you know, get a couple yards for you as a punt returner. In the kicking game, Robbie Gould is solid. He had a hiccup last year. The 49ers had all kinds of problems at long snapper. They had four different long snappers last year, but they got their guy back, and they're solid in the kicking game. Mitch Wishnowsky, the Australian rules football punter that they drafted last year, overdrafted. I've been critical of that draft pick. You don't draft a punter in the fourth round, early in the fourth round at that. And he's been okay. You know, he's not a world beater. He's not going to pin every kick inside the 5-yard line, but he's been a fine punter for the 49ers. So I'd say the kicking game is an area where the 49ers aren't necessarily amazing, although looking at some kickers around the league, I think they're glad to have Robbie Gould, and they're not going to be game breakers in the return game, but they're solid on special teams.
All right, ahead here on our show, Brian and I will close things out and we'll talk more about Jets 49ers week 2 action here in the NFL.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all of the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
All right, we've got to make our predictions about 49ers-Jets in Week 2. Before we get to that, John, there's a couple other matchups I want to highlight here. One is second-year defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, who I had in a tier alone at the top of the draft last year with Nick Bosa. I had Nick Bosa 1, Quinnen Williams 2. There was a tier break, and then I had Kyler Murray and another group of first-round talents. That's how much I liked Quinnen Williams. I think he disappointed slightly, then had some off-field hiccups in his rookie season. What is he looking like coming into year two? Is he focused? And is there potential for him to eat in the weakness of the 49ers offensive line right now, which is that interior?
I think for the Jets, he has to. There's no more Jamal Adams on this team. CJ Mosley opted out. Jets have issues at corner. Jets have issues at edge rusher. They need somebody to provide impact for them. And you're going to need to see Quinnen Williams have a big second season. You're going to need to see him take a big step forward for this team this year. And week one, I think, was somewhat discouraging. He had a very quiet game. In fact, the two times you really noticed him were when he was committing penalties. I thought year one was okay. I think you were right. He may be mildly disappointed, but he was also dealing with some injuries. You know, he suffered an ankle injury the first game last year. You don't know how that impacted him. The Jets also had injuries at linebacker. So when I was reviewing the games, it seemed to me, and I'm not in the huddle, so I don't know for sure, but it seemed to me that they were kind of using him to make sure the linebackers did not have to deal with blockers. They were kind of using Williams to keep those linebackers clean. So I think that may have impacted them statistically, but there's really no way around it. The Jets have talked about this being an important player for them on defense. They've talked about how they're expecting more from him this year, and they did not get it week one. So if this defense is going to have success this year, Quinnen Williams is going to need to have a big year. I think he needs to be a Pro Bowl level player. And I think you don't want to read too much into week one, but what you saw against the Buffalo Bills was not that encouraging.
Looking at this matchup and that 49ers banged up secondary, the way for the 49ers to overcome the injuries back there is to get after Sam Darnold with their defensive line. Last week, the 49ers had to play sort of containment lanes, and they couldn't really go after Kyler Murray, which makes that matchup a little bit more frustrating for the 49ers because that's the strength of their team, is their defensive line. And I really want to see Bosa versus the rookie Becton. We might not get to see that matchup, which, you know, would be even worse for the Jets offensive line and for Sam Darnold, because I think the Niners are really going to come after and bring the heat on Sam Darnold to protect their back end of that defense. So I think that's going to be one of the key matchups in this game, and really the one that decides it. Another player I'm really looking forward to see on the Jets, and every 49ers fan is, and I think most 49ers fans, when he trots onto the field, will stand up in their living rooms and give him a little golf clap, and that is Frank Gore, who now, if I'm not mistaken, is expected to start with Le'Veon Bell out.
That's correct. Le'Veon Bell's on IR. He suffered a hamstring injury against the Bills. So presumably Gore is going to be the lead back for the Jets. The other back who's in the mix for the Jets is LaMichael Perine, a rookie out of Florida. He suffered an ankle injury in training camp. He was not ready for week one. We'll see we're not sure what his status will be for week two yet, though.
Have you been able to tell if Sam Darnold's, you know, had a leap in development coming into this year? Was it too difficult of a game in week one to tell that? What is Sam Darnold looking like right now? Because I loved Sam Darnold coming out of USC. I'm worried that he's getting ruined because he's in this environment that's a continuous state of rebuilding, and he doesn't have a foundation around him. We've talked about the weakness of his team being the offensive line and the wide receivers. That's not great for a young quarterback.
No, it's not, and it was not an encouraging week one performance from him. He missed a number of throws. I thought mechanically he looked like a mess. His footwork was all over the place. Not that Darnold's ever been a guy with pristine footwork, but he missed a lot of throws he should have made. I mean, there was one really ugly interception where he threw across his body to the middle of the field into heavy coverage. It was a ball that was begging to be picked off. There was a play near the sideline where all he had to do was throw it away, and for whatever reason, he ran out of bounds and took a sack. And I go back to that interception I talked about where he was just trying to force a ball into the middle of the field. And I almost wonder, what impact does it have when you're a young quarterback and you don't have support, and you essentially know, like, you have to make all the plays. You know, you have to do something special every week for your team to win because you don't have a supporting cast that can help you out. And I wonder, does that lead to a mindset where plays like that happen? I think you have to be a little bit concerned after week one. You don't want to read too much into one game, but Darnold was not good. And I think this is an important game for Darnold. I think that there are going to be some major alarms if he goes out and plays as poorly as he did against the Bills.
Going to be a tough task, I think, for Sam Darnold Sunday, but we've got to predict this thing. Looking at the line, the 49ers are favored again. They were favored last week at home by 7. They are favored again by 7 on the road. That line's actually climbed up. I believe it's opened at 6, now up to 7. Niners favored by a touchdown on the road against the Jets. John, I'll let you go first. How do you see this thing Sunday?
I think that for the Jets, if you were ever going to catch the 49ers, this would be the time because you have all the injuries, because you get them at home, the early start, but as much as I hate reading too much into week one, it's very difficult for me to pick the Jets based on the way they looked against the Bills, against a team that just went to the Super Bowl last year. So I think the 49ers win this game. I would say maybe 23-13.
The over-under is fairly low here, 42.5 points, and it's hard to predict it's going to go over that. Everything's setting up for this to be a fairly low-scoring game with how banged up the 49ers are at the key receiving positions. I think they'll want to keep things heavy on the ground, and I think that 49ers defensive line will give Sam Darnold a lot of problems, and even though their secondary is banged up, they might be able to get a play or two there, but I don't see them making enough plays in the passing game to beat the 49ers. So with a low-scoring game, it's hard to predict the 49ers win by that many points because that's a big line. But I'm going to say the 49ers do win this one 24-10, which would be well under the 42.5 points. So I do have them winning by two touchdowns in this game, but I think a lot of the damage is going to do on the ground and by that 49ers defensive line. And really for the Jets, the unfortunate thing here, because I think you're correct that things were lining up, and if you want to face the 49ers, this would have been a good time to do it. But unfortunately, the Cardinals did you no favors. I think the fact that the 49ers lost the game that last week, they're going to come into this game with a pretty nasty disposition, and that might spell trouble for the Jets.
Absolutely. That, I was watching that game. I was pulling for the 49ers to win because I did not want to face San Francisco as they're trying to avoid going 0-2. I think you want to sneak up on the 49ers.
Yeah,
I
you would have had maybe more of a trap game scenario here in week two if the 49ers would have pulled out week one.
Yeah, and I think about the game, a game the Jets won last year. In fact, it was the only game the Jets won in the first half of last season. It was a home game against the Dallas Cowboys. And you could tell the Cowboys were not taking that game seriously. They thought they were just going to win by walking on the field. And the Jets went out and dominated them in the first half. And then in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys started playing and they scored a couple touchdowns. And they were a two-point conversion away from forcing overtime. And so, you know, I think you were hoping at the start of the year that maybe the 49ers would sleepwalk heading into MetLife Stadium. And after they lost that game to Arizona, I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
Good stuff, John. Thank you so much. The crossovers are always a lot of fun. Every Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Signing off, Brian Peacock from Locked On 49ers with John Butchko of Locked On Jets. I'm hoping for a fun contest, and I think it will be a good one. There's a number of players that I'm interested to watch with those Jets because it's been a little while since I paid close attention to the Jets roster. And I really like what Joe Douglas has going on there. If they can get healthy, I think they might have something eventually, even if, you know, there's a new quarterback or a new coach at some point next year. There's some pieces in place. So I'm excited to watch the Jets. Thanks, John. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
That is our show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, subscribe to it and please leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to do our preview of week two, the Jets and the 49ers.